that's about, right? Huh?
I had my finger on the verse and I've lost it. Give me a moment. There we are. Thank you all again for kindly coming to take part in today's program. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is 9th chapter, text 17. Pitaham asya jagato mata tata pitamaha vejam pavitram omkara ritsama yajurivacha. Lord Krishna said, I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandfather. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Yajur Vedas. Purport. The entire cosmic manifestations, moving and non-moving, are manifested by different activities of Krishna's energy. In the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator, etc. But actually, they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc., are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word tata means creator. Not only are father and mothers parts and parcels of Krishna, but the creator, grandmother, and grandfather, etc., are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only toward Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step toward understanding Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand all Vedic principles is also part of Krishna, and as such is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental sound vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, the Pranava or Omkar is very prominent, it is understood to be Krishna. Om Agyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Buddhave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupakada Mayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamanam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raghunathan Vitam Stam Sadivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Vadita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Scha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindha, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi, Radhe Brindavaneshari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Vanchakal Pitabhubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhyayevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashtari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pitaham Masya Jagato, Dhata, Mata Dhata Pitama. Vedyam Pavitram Omkara, Riksama Yajureva. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. The complete whole, Purna, Om Purna Madha Purna Midam. Everything that emanates from the complete is also complete in itself, because from the complete comes more complete, complete units. So Krishna is everything, therefore there's nothing outside of Krishna. Therefore whatever exists is also Krishna. The whole material universe is made of five elements, eight elements actually, earth, water, fire, air, and akash, five gross elements, and mind, intelligence, and ahankar, three subtle elements. Our gross and subtle bodies are made of these things. The gross body is the body we see, and the subtle body is the inner body, the intelligence, mind. So these are also Krishna, because they're Krishna's energy. Just as the sunlight is also the sun. There's no difference. You can't say the sun is something separate. We say the sun is in my room, and that's a fact. But because the sun and its energy are not different, the sunlight is the energy of the sun, it's also the sun. So Krishna's energy is also Krishna. And whatever exists is Krishna's energy. The material energy and aparaya mitasvanyam prakriti vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahavada yayedam dharyate jagat. Above the gross and physical and mental energies, there's the spiritual energy, the living being. Because the body and the soul are different. You start off with a little child's body, you get young person's body and old person's body. So the body is being changed, but we're the same person. So that same person is the Atma, the spirit, Jiva, Jiva Shakti, living energy within the body. So the body is one thing, the Atma is another thing, but both of them are Krishna's energy. One is the inferior energy, the other is the superior energy. But they're both Krishna's energy, therefore they're also not different from Krishna. They're not separate from Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, because Krishna is everything. So we say I'm sitting on this floor or sitting on the seat, but actually I'm sitting on Krishna. I say I'm breathing the air, but actually I'm breathing Krishna. I say I'm hearing sound, but actually I'm hearing Krishna. So, because Krishna is everything, there's nothing separate from Krishna. So in this way, a Krishna conscious person sees Krishna everywhere. Stavara jangama deki na deki tarmati. Wherever he looks, he sees whatever it may be, the tree, the land, the water. But he doesn't exactly see tree, land, and water. He also sees Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada here mentions or tells of the identity of Krishna and the living being. That Krishna and the living being are one. Our mother is also Krishna. Our father is also Krishna. Because they're nothing but manifestations of Krishna's energy. The creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, is also Krishna. At the same time, one and different. I may say that the sun is in my room because the sunlight is in my room, the sun's energy. But the sunshine and the sun, although they're one, are also different. If the sun planet were in my room, I'd be dead. Because the sunshine is a little gentle compared to the powerful sun itself. If that powerful sun were here, oh, everything would be scorched to cinders. So the sunlight and the sun planet are one and yet different also. The sun is up in its place, 93 million miles away. And the sun's energy is here with us. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. That the everything is one with Krishna and at the same time different from Krishna. The oneness is a fact, and the difference is also a fact. Especially the living beings. The living beings are one with Krishna. Krishna's eternal, we're also eternal. Krishna has knowledge, we also have knowledge. Krishna's joyful by nature. In our true nature, we're also joyful. But Krishna is very great, and we're very small. Krishna is infinite, and we're infinitesimal. So there's simultaneously oneness and difference. Some philosophers like to stress everything is one, everything is one, everything is one. You're also God, I'm also God, everyone is also God. That's all right, and Prabhupada mentions that here, but what kind of gods are we? We're the small gods. God means Ishvara. Ishvara means controller. So Krishna is Parameshwara, the supreme controller, Parama Ishvara. And we're also Ishvaras, but we're not Parama. I can say that I'm Ishvara. I control my bank account. I control my dog. I control my house. I control my car. I control this or that. But I can't say I'm the supreme controller of everything. I may control my bank account, but my bank account is dependent on my job. And my job is controlled by the boss. Although I'm the controller, he's a bigger controller. He can say, I'm sorry, but given the state of the economy, we have to let you go. So he's a bigger controller. But then his boss may also come and say, we also have to let you go. Or the whole company, the customers may say that given the present economic situation, we really can't afford to buy your product. It's a luxury. And then the whole corporation has to go. The whole company has to go. So I'm a controller, at the same time I'm controlled. Everyone is a controller to some extent, and controlled also to some extent. To some extent, actually completely. We're controlled by our environment, we're controlled by our parents, we're controlled by the government, we're controlled by our boss, we're controlled by our teachers, we're controlled. We're controlled by so many things. No one can say, I'm not controlled, except Krishna. Because Ishvara Parama Krishna, he's the supreme controller. I can't say the sun is moving by my command. Can you say? No. But Krishna says, yes, the sun is also moving by my command. The moon is also moving by my command. The earth is also staying in its place by my command. Everything is going on by Krishna's command, by the arrangement of Krishna's energies. But although we're also controllers like Krishna, we're the tiny controllers. Therefore, we're both Krishna and not Krishna. We're Krishna in our qualities, eternity, bliss, knowledge, but not in quantity. Krishna is great and I'm tiny. Oneness and difference. Just like gold. The gold in the gold mine and the gold in an ornament are the same. Gold is gold. So you get, of course, in the mine it's unrefined, but it's there as gold. And your ornament is also gold. But therefore they're equal in that characteristic. They're golden. But the gold on your ring and the gold on the mine are not of the same quantity. No one could wear a gold mine on his or her finger. Too much weight. And of course, if you could wear a gold mine on your finger, you'd be filthy rich. But although I'm wearing a ring, and although it's gold, and although the gold in the mine and the gold in the ring are the same, because the quantity is different, I'm not rich. If I go to the gold dealer and say, I would like to, given the state of the economy, I have cash in my ring, could you give me some money? He won't say, oh, you have a gold mine on your finger, I'll give you hundreds of thousands of dollars. No, maybe $25, $50, something. Because the quantity is different. So we're qualitatively one with Krishna and quantitatively different. So, therefore my business is to serve Krishna. Because Krishna is great and I'm small and I'm part of Krishna. Just as the hand is part of the body. And therefore its duty is to, its function is to serve the body. So I'm part of Krishna and therefore my function is to serve Krishna. The hand won't be happy by taking food and keeping it in its own palm. The hand has to serve the body by putting the food in the stomach. Then it will be distributed to all the parts of the body. So we have to, we can't just keep that this is mine, this is mine. Whatever we get is actually for the service of Krishna. It's actually meant for the service of Krishna. Everything is Krishna's property. Ishavasha nidam sarvam. And therefore everything should be used for Krishna. And suppose if you give me a hammer and some nails and some wood and ask me to make a cabinet, and then I make the cabinet, can I say now the cabinet is mine? Can I say? What do you think? You give me some nails, you give me some wood, you give me some tools, and now I make a cabinet. Is it mine? Belongs to the man who provided all those things. He gave the wood, he gave the nails, he said, make me a cabinet. I make it, now it's his. So Krishna's providing everything. He's providing the materials of this world. He's providing our senses, which are the tools by which we do everything. He's providing everything. And then we claim, this is mine. This is false consciousness. Nothing is mine. Even if I think it's mine, how long will it be mine? It's mine for some time, and then it's taken away or given away. Even, I say, my money. But my money is useless to me. It's only when I spend it that it has some utility. And when I spend it, it's no longer mine. So I say my money, but the money is being transferred. It was somebody else's money, and it came to me. Now it's with me, and then I'll give it to someone else, and it's his, and he gives it to the next person. Yet I'm all the time, we're thinking, each person is thinking, this is my money. This is my house. Maybe someone else lived in it before. In any case, someone will live in it after. And for the moment, I say, mine. But these mine, my house, my body, my money, it's all borrowed from Krishna. And at the end, it has to be returned to Krishna. And actually now, therefore, because it's Krishna's property, I should use it for Krishna. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwa suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvam ahushantamash prichitati. This is the peace formula. That Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, Krishna is the supreme controller, and Krishna is the supreme friend of all living beings. Well, understanding this factually, we should engage in the service of Krishna. For that purpose, this Krishna consciousness movement is going on, giving everyone the opportunity to serve Krishna, to develop understanding of Krishna, to chant Hare Krishna, to be trained in Krishna consciousness, to get out of this material existence ultimately by perfection of Krishna consciousness. This is the real business of human life. And for this purpose, our Krishna consciousness movement is there, making it easy to be Krishna conscious through this chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we'll be very grateful if you'll take this Krishna consciousness movement very seriously. It will be why we'll be grateful. Every one of us should take it seriously. It's our inheritance, one way or another. Either a cultural inheritance, those who have the good fortune of an Indian background naturally inherit Krishna consciousness by cultural good fortune, or those who've come in touch with this Krishna consciousness movement in the West, we also get the opportunity. So, however we've gotten the opportunity, the opportunity is valuable when we use it. If we just keep it in a box, then it has no actual value. Like money, you keep it in a box. What is that? That's for misers. But the intelligent person has to use the assets. Has to use the assets in a productive way. Then the asset actually has value, or the value of the asset is realized. So the more we take this Krishna consciousness movement seriously, and the more we spread it, material assets, as you distribute them, decrease. When you distribute your money, then at the end there's no less money or no money left. If you have food and you distribute it, at the end it's all gone. But Krishna consciousness, the more you distribute it, the more it increases, the more your own stock increases. That's the nature of Krishna consciousness. Purnasya purnamadaya purnameva visheshita. Even if you subtract 100% of Krishna from Krishna, you still have 100% Krishna. The more you distribute Krishna consciousness, even if you distribute all that you have, you'll still have as much as you started out with, and in fact more. Anandam Buddhipartanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described it as the ocean of pleasure that increases. The more we distribute, the more it increases. So, how will I distribute? Maybe I'm not a sannyasi, I can't travel here and there. But everyone, we can ask our friends, please chant Hare Krishna. Please read this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Please learn something about Krishna. Every one of us can do that. Every one of us can do that. Then that will be good for us and it will be good for others. We can use our words for Krishna, we can use our intelligence for Krishna, we can use our life for Krishna, we can use our money for Krishna, we can use this body for Krishna, we can use everything for Krishna, and that will make our life successful. All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Maharaj, you were saying how our mother is Krishna and our father is Krishna. It made me think how, in one sense, literally, our mother in the form of Srimati Radharani is Krishna because she is his expansion. One time, I remember at an initiation ceremony, he gave his mother the name Jagamata that he said is a name for Srimati Radharani that means mother of the universe. So, I was wondering if, since it's this special day for mothers, if you could speak a little bit about Srimati Radharani as our mother.
Krishna says, Pitaha Masya Jagato, I'm the father of everything. So if Krishna is the father, then the Srimati Radharani is the mother. Actually, she's the mother of this universe indirectly. Just as Krishna is the father indirectly. Krishna doesn't get involved in creating the universe. That's not his business. He's enjoying in Goloka Vrindavan. But Krishna expands himself through his material, through his Vishnu expansions. So the Mahavishnu becomes the father of the universe. And Lakshmi Devi is there as the wife of Lord Vishnu. So she's the mother of the universe, but not like our mother. For having children, Mahavishnu doesn't need Lakshmi. He doesn't need his wife for having children. From his navel grows a lotus, and he has a son, Lord Brahma, who grows on that lotus. He appears on that lotus only. No need of contact with Lakshmi for the birth of a child. This is Vishnu. He doesn't have to have a child in the usual way. Unusually, the lotus is growing and Brahma is born. So Lakshmi is the mother because she's married to the father. Just like the sometimes there are co-wives. So the co-wife is also the mother. Why? Because she's married to the father. Or just what is that? Adau Mata, Guru Patni, Brahmani, Brahmani, Rajapatnika, Dhenu Dhatri Tata Prithvi. These are, Yogendra Prabhu was mentioning seven mothers. So these are the seven, our original mother, Adau Mata, and Guru Patni, the wife of the Guru. Because she's married to the Guru, she's also our mother. The Guru is the father, so his wife is also the mother. And Brahmani, the wife of the Brahma. And Rajapatnika, the king is supposed to be the father of the citizens. So because the queen is married to the king, she is the mother. So Lakshmi Devi is the mother of all the living beings, not by giving birth. Although actually The shadow of Lakshmi gives birth to the living beings. The Shrishti Stati Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. The Durga, she's also called Mother. She's the mother of the living beings. Mother Nature, we say. So this Durga, she also, to have children, the Lord is the father as Vishnu, but he also doesn't come in touch with Durga for having children. Simply, akshita, by glancing, he creates pregnancy. Tasam brahma mahad yonir aham bija pradapita. The Lord is the seed-giving father, but he gives that seed just by glancing. And then creates pregnancy in Mother Nature, and Mother Nature becomes full of living beings. So this Durga is also the shadow of Lakshmi. She's the shadow or reflection of Lakshmi Devi. The Lakshmi Devi is the spiritual energy of the Lord, and Durga is the material energy of the Lord. So she's the shadow of Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is the expansion of Srimati Radharani. So in this way, even Durga, Prabhupada once said, is the another face of Srimati Radharani. We have one god sister, Mahamaya, perhaps you know her. So when Prabhupada gave her that name, the devotees laughed, you know, she's being named Mahamaya. Prabhupada said, don't laugh. He said, Mahamaya is also another face of Srimati Radharani. Another face of Srimati Radharani. So because Radha and Krishna are everything, so the Durga is also the expansion of Srimati Radharani in the form of the shadow. Where you go, your shadow is there. The shadow follows. So the shadow follows the will of the Lord. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti durga. Ichchan rupam api yasya chitesha. Moving according to the wishes of the Lord. So in that way we can say that Srimati Radharani is the mother of all living beings. Or from another point of view, because she is the consort, eternal consort of Krishna. And Krishna is the father. Father means, forget this material nature, everyone is eternal. So then how do we have a father or mother? Father means who gives birth. Mother means who gives birth. Father gives the seed. But, na jayate mriyate ma kadachan. The Lord says there's no birth for the living being. And there's no death for the living being. He's eternal. So then how can we speak of a mother or a father? But because Krishna is the origin, we can say father. Just like the sun, we can say the sun is the father of the sunshine. When does the sunshine begin? It never begins. It's always existing. But it's always coming from the sun. The sun is always the source. The sunshine is always the energy. So the Lord is the father of all the living beings, even in the spiritual world, not because they take birth, but because Krishna is their origin. He's the origin. Parashya Paman Shakti Tatedam Akibam Jagat. As the fire spreads its heat and light everywhere, by its energies, the Lord spreads Himself everywhere through the energy of His living beings. So, from that point of view, Krishna is the Father, and Srimati Radharani is Krishna's eternal consort. So, she is the Mother. The Mother is very kind. As the Father may be a little stern, but the Mother is kind, kind-hearted. Women are generally supposed to be more kind-hearted. So Srimati Radharani is the
kind-hearted counterpart of Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we pray to Krishna and Srimati Radharani to engage us in devotional service. Okay. Yeah, you can do pretty well.
Maharaj, how is, you said make your life successful, but how does Krishna consciousness make our life successful when simultaneously in class you were saying that nothing is ours, everything is Krishna's? So how does my life become successful when everyone equates success with possession? You know, I'm successful because I possess such and such and such and such. So what do I possess in Krishna consciousness?
We're successful when we possess this, when we possess that. So, but what do we possess in Krishna consciousness? How do we say that our life is successful? We're successful because we know that this is not mine. The fool is thinking, this is my money, this is my house, this is my land, this is my this is my... And it's all taken away from him. And that means he's a failure, because he never learned whose it is and who to whom he belongs. He's thinking he's independent and that everything is his. That means he's a failure. Because he never inquired about spiritual realization. And spiritual realization is the real purpose of life. That although he got an MA and a PhD and big successful business and this and that, he's a failure. Because he failed at the purpose of human life. And the Krishna conscious person, even if he doesn't have a big bank account, big degrees, big this or that, because he knows Krishna, his life is successful, and at the end of life he gets out of this material world and goes back to Godhead. That means his life is a complete success. We don't measure success by how much money is in your bank account or how many letters you have after your name. Real success is how one completes the mission of human life by engaging in devotional service of Krishna and going back to Krishna. Anything else? Okay. Excuse me? Yeah, khatam ho gaya.
I had a question if I could ask.
Yes, please.
I don't know what subject you offered. I have a question on this. You know, like Jivatma, Paramatma. So, all the Jivatmas who are living at the present time in these universes, were they ever lived with Krishna?
Did the Jivatmas ever live with Krishna? They always live with Krishna. Because Krishna is everywhere. We're always living with Krishna, but we've forgotten our relationship with Krishna. We're turning away from Krishna. Therefore, we're in a fallen condition.
So if they live with Krishna in Krishna Loka, why did they decide to come?
You'll not figure that out. If we lived here, why did... But just like a crazy child, he wants to abandon his home. So we're turning our back on Krishna. Anadi Bahir Mukjiv. You can't trace at a certain time this began, just as you can't trace when did the sunshine start coming from the sun. But Anadi Bahir Mukjiv Bhogavanchakari. We're turning away from Krishna. Why? Bhogavanchakari. Because we want to enjoy. That's the cause. Why do we turn away from Krishna? To enjoy. And what happens when we try to enjoy without Krishna? We suffer. That's material existence. Material existence means turning away from Krishna and therefore trying to enjoy but actually suffering. And reviving our Krishna consciousness means, what will I enjoy in this material world? Let me turn back to Krishna. That's... One is conditioning life, the other is liberated life. Just Prabhupada gave the example. My palm, as soon as I turn it, toward the light, it's in the light. And as soon as I turn it away, it's in the darkness. So as soon as we turn away from Krishna, at once we're in material existence. And as soon as you turn toward Krishna, at once you're in spiritual existence.
Let's see, in Gita it is said that once we...
Yagatva nani vartante tattama paramatma. Once you go back, you'll never return.
Why does that happen then? Why, is the jivatma is not satisfied living with Krishna?
You can't calculate, but he's in an unconstitutional position. He's turning away from Krishna, causelessly, for no good reason. For no good reason. Not there's a good reason. There's no good reason. Prabhupada called it causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna. There's no good reason for neglecting Krishna, our relationship with Krishna. But since time immemorial, we've been doing that. You can't even calculate that at one time this, at one time that. Since time immemorial, we're turning away from Krishna. And now our business is to turn toward Krishna. And then when you turn toward Krishna, Krishna says, you'll never come back. Is that all right? Yes. Finally you can't ask. Because it's unreasonable. Suppose some unreasonable person does something unreasonable. Then if I ask, for what good reason did he do that? There's no answer. He did it because he's unreasonable.
But see, everybody trying to go to Krishna Loka.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But even that's not true then.
No, it's true.
Because we have some desires left.
No, you don't. You won't have desires left.
That's why you come back.
Come back, you won't come back. Since time immemorial, we've forgotten Krishna. Or, taking it another way, suppose there's a chance that you might come back. Does that mean you're no longer interested? Suppose there's a 0.1% chance that you'll come back. Does that mean you'll abandon the project?
At least I should know that. I mean, that we are told that, yatgatvana nivartate tadham paramamama. So once you have been there, that's it. That's your final destination. But it's still...
Because you maintain some independence. So you always have freedom. If you like, you can come back. But Krishna says, no one comes back. But, in principle, if you like, you can come.
Yeah.
Or if you like, you can stay here and never go. That's also up to you. But if you take it seriously, then you can go and never come back. Practically, no one comes back. But in principle, because the living entity Krishna is eternally, fully independent, so we have small independence. Independence means you can turn away from Krishna at any time. But Krishna guarantees, you come back to me, you will come back to this material world. That's a little different from this guy. That coming back is not this coming back. But Practically speaking, our work is to get out, not to figure out how did I get here. Let me go back. We'll not figure out. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do not ask the misleading question, how the living entity was created and enthralled. Because it's beyond time also. In the material world, everything has a beginning and an end. But in the spiritual world, everything is timeless. So it's not such a place that we can wrap our minds around it the way we wrap our hand around the doorknob. It's subtle. It's fine. It's beyond the dityavarnam tamasapanastha. It's beyond this material existence and the material laws. But Krishna says, come. Oh, why should we say, no. First, you have to answer this question. The example may be given that you're drowning in a well and someone throws you a line and you say, well, wait a second first. How did I get in this well? How long have I been here? Business is to get out. No, but what about my question? No. Krishna says, get out. Tamasi ma. Is that all right?
I understand what you're trying to say. It is not satisfactory to my understanding.
All right, then what?
I mean, like, you know, the whole idea, I mean, we believe that Krishna is the Supreme.
They're eternally existing. There's no creation of the jiva.
Krishna existed eternally, and jivatma existed eternally. No time, so the time factor doesn't enter. And but jivatmas are always suffering.
No, some are. Some small numbers. Most of the jivatmas are liberated souls, and some small number are the conditioned souls.
Maybe in this material world, what we see, most jivatmas are suffering.
Yeah, in the material world, they're all suffering.
Yeah, so,
but they're a small proportion of the living beings.
So actually, we are only really, with our limited sense perception, we can only see people in this world. You know?
Correct.
So we see all these people suffering. Krishna, you know, enjoying in his Vaikunth, you know. And now we are trying to get out of this material world, physically or mentally or spiritually, so that we don't go through this pains of suffering. But then you said there's no guarantee that even when you go there.
No, I said it is guaranteed. But in theory, if you like, you can come back. But Krishna says, Nani Vartante, one doesn't come back.
No. Yes, that point I understand, that if you have achieved your ultimate goal in life, which is to get, you know, to be with Krishna, but he said we still have that independence left in us, so that we will again come back.
No, not that you'll again come back. You won't come back, but you have the independence, just like I'm a sannyasi. So sannyasi means no sex. But I have independence. But I've decided not to use it. A brahmachari is not that he's impotent. Brahmachari can have sex. But he's decided no sex. The potency is there, but he's decided, no, I'm not going to use that potency. The living being has a fall-down potency. He's capable of falling. But the liberated soul decides, I'm not going to use that potency. I'm going to stay with Krishna. But the potency is there. The brahmachari, in theory, can have sense. But he has decided, by his use of independent discretion, I'm not going to have sense. I'm going to remain brahmachari. Of the liberated soul, he has the capability of being a conditioned soul. He has free will. But by his good discretion, no, I'm just going to remain in Krishna consciousness, Krishna's service.
The point I'm trying to make is that, you know, if you believe what Krishna said in the Gita, he didn't say if and but. He said very clearly that if you go there, you will never come.
I also didn't say if and but.
Okay. And then all the jivatmas who are living presently in this universe, the point I was trying to make was they've never been to Vaikuntha Loka.
And what will you, and so, all right, make that point. And now what will you do with that point in practical terms?
If you accept that, then you go forward.
Okay. Will you go forward then?
Huh?
Will you go forward?
No, what I'm saying is...
No. Will you go forward? I understand what you said.
Yeah.
Will you go forward now?
But do you accept it or...
Whether I accept it doesn't matter. It's whether you accept it.
No,
if you accept that the living entity was always with Krishna or was never with Krishna, like, decide what you want. But having made your decision, now what will you do? That's my point.
Well, we will do whatever is good for me.
What is good for you?
You want to be happy?
Yes, so what will you do?
Well, whatever known to me, we do it.
Well, what is known to you? If it's just a theoretical discussion, did we come from Krishna Loka, did we not come from Krishna Loka? And at the end, what am I going to do? I'm going to do, well, something. That's useless. Krishna says, Sarvatarman Pratyaja Mamnekam Sharanam Braja. You give up all your nonsense and surrender to me. That's what Krishna says.
What does dharma mean?
Dharma?
What does it mean, sarvatarman?
No, all dharma, all other business. You surrender to me. Don't make it that my business is to sit on the fence and philosophize. Krishna says, you surrender to me. Yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat juhoshi, didasi, yat. Everything do for Krishna. Is that all right?
That's one of the paths.
Not one of the paths.
You know, like everybody says that whatever they say is the only path.
No, Krishna says, sarvadharman pratyaja, you give up everything else. Not I say, somebody says. Krishna says, at the end of the book, now I've explained to you the whole book. Give up all your other things and surrender to me. That's not my saying. That's Krishna's saying.
So surrendering to Krishna means what?
Huh?
What does it mean?
It means manmana, you think of me.
Uh-huh.
Bhavamad bhakta, you become my devotee. Madhyaji, you worship me. Mam namaskuru, you offer me your obeisances. Mam ekam, only me. That's what it means.
Okay, so if a person who works in the world so many things.
Mm-hmm.
He has to stop doing those?
No, he has to do it for Krishna or stop doing.
What do you mean? It's like, okay, let's not practically here.
It's practical. You either do it for Krishna or you stop doing it.
Okay. We have in this world right now, Krishna is not here. So we have either.
Krishna is here at every moment, but that's.
No, I know, but I mean, like, when you say Krishna, it will come to you or some guru or some other person who will tell me that he do it for me. But I know what Krishna meant. You do it for ISKCON or do it for their lordship here or Radha Khan or whatever. You know, you don't attach the fruit of your action for yourself. You do it for him.
Correct.
For the public service.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yes, you give the fruit of your actions to Krishna and you do what Krishna says. It's not only that whatever I do, I give to Krishna, but actually what Krishna wants us to do.
That's where non-detachment comes from. Karma without
Detachment.
Yes. Giving up.
Karma yevadikaraste, that's there. It means that if I'm actually sincere, that I dedicate my whole life to Krishna.
Right. Through karma. Karma also.
Karma also, gyan also, everything. Not that it's just a something to argue. It's not just something to make an argument about. It means that in practical terms, that my real business is serving Krishna and everything else supports that. Everything else is meant to be instrumental for that. Not that my business is to enjoy and I put $10 in the pranami box and I'm a devotee of Krishna. Krishna says that your business is to be my devotee. Then I may work, I may raise a family, I may do this, but why? To serve Krishna only, not for any other purpose. If I have children, it's only for serving Krishna. If I have a family, it's only for serving Krishna. If I have a job, it's only for serving Krishna. If I have a life, it's only for serving Krishna. It's not for any other purpose. The other things are just means to serving Krishna, facility for serving Krishna. But my business is to serve Krishna. Just like if I'm working, suppose I'm a soldier. So I eat also. But my business is not eating. My business is fighting. And I'm eating so that I can fight. Not that I say, well, actually I'm also an eater. No, I'm a soldier. And my eating is for fighting. I read something also, but the reading is how to do something to protect myself from the enemy to win the war. I'm sleeping also. But I'm sleeping so that I'll have power to fight. That's soldier. It means his business is fighting. His business is not eating, sleeping. So devotee means his business is serving Krishna. And everything else is meant for advancing that purpose. Therefore, either do it for Krishna or don't do it. You know, if you're not going to help win the war, don't do it. And if it will help win the war, if it's eating, if it's sleeping, whatever it is, do it. It's not theoretical that you're a soldier but because you're wearing a uniform but you don't do anything. No, if you're a soldier, you do everything for the country.
Is it also that it takes some intelligence to actually be able to connect everything?
Excuse me?
Is it also that it takes some intelligence to be able to connect everything you do?
Sure.
Krishna?
My intelligence also. The soldier has to be intelligent. That I have to do everything so that I'll achieve the purpose. The foolish soldier, you know, he puts his hand on the wrong place or puts his head up when it should be down. He has to be intelligent also. So use your intelligence for Krishna, your words for Krishna, your life for Krishna. So many philosophical questions may be there, that's all right. But the conclusion of my philosophical understanding has to be that I have to serve Krishna fully. My full energy should be used in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, it just remains a sport. You know, I engage my mind in looking at it this way, looking at it that way, looking at it this way, looking at it that way. But I never do anything. But if we do, Krishna says, "You, mame vaishasi, satyam te pratijane priyosime. You become my devotee, you surrender to me, you'll come back to me. And then your question will be answered." I may not answer the question, the next man may answer the question, but if we take Krishna's order and surrender to him, then we'll go back to him, and then if you still have a question, you can ask Krishna personally. And if we don't take it up, if we remain just debating, then we can stay here and continue to toss the question around. Finally, we have to do something. In business, you know, you look at the thing this way, you look at it that way. Finally, you say either, yes, I accept your offer, or no, I don't accept your offer. But just talking about how expensive it is, or what the return on investment will be, it's useless unless finally I say, all right, forget it, or all right, I'm buying. Just to remain examining forever what is the return on investment means to waste my life. Finally, the point time of death will come. I'm still calculating what will be the return on my investment if I purchase this thing. Finally, I have to either buy or forget it. So Krishna's order is surrender to me. So we either have to accept or reject. If we accept, then Krishna says everything will be good. Krishna says if you nishroshasi vinakshasi, you don't listen to my instruction and you think, no, why should I take Krishna's order? Nayotsya timanyasa. Then vinakshasi, then you'll be lost. So we have a choice. We can be lost or we can be found. So Krishna says, surrender to me and be found. And Nali Vartante, don't come back.
I have a question.
Yes.
When I'm talking about our ISKCON gurus, they serve so long to Krishna.
Our ISKCON gurus?
Yeah. So what, how come they fell down?
Well, excuse me, our ISKCON gurus, I couldn't hear your question. We have some ISKCON gurus and sometimes they fall down.
Yeah, they fell down. How come? They were so long for Krishna consciousness.
Yes, because they're not, they may not have achieved perfection. Just like Maharaj Bharat. He also fell down. He achieved bhava, which is just the prior stage of love for Krishna. But he became attracted to a little deer. The deer's mother was frightened of a lion, and while trying to cross the river, the deer was pregnant and gave birth, and now the little deer cub is what will happen. So Maharaj Bharat took pity on the deer cub and rescued it from the water, and then he became attached to the deer. The deer has no one to take care of it. The deer only knows me as its protector. Where is the deer? What's happening with the deer? While doing his meditation, he was thinking about the deer. So at the time of his death, he thought of the deer and he became a deer. And then, so that means that even though he attained such a high level, still he got caught by the Maya's trick. And then he became a deer. But as a deer, he thought, oh, what have I done? So he made it his business to associate with sadhus. And in the next birth, he became a great saintly person, Drudhpurant. And that was his last birth. He went back to Bhagavan. So Mama Maya Dhrachya, Maya is very powerful. Even someone who's making progress, even someone who's attained progress on the spiritual path, may be tricked by Maya. It may happen. But it doesn't mean that we should give up Krishna consciousness. Still, we should move forward. Even in the, again, in the fighting business, sometimes even an expert general or expert fighter falls. But still, we have to carry on. Does that address your question? Yes, but he can't protect the deer. Finally, no one can protect anyone in this material world. Everything depends on Krishna's desire. There's so many deer, there's so many insects, there's so many birds, there's so many, and they have their calamities every day. The bird is attacked by a cat. The frog is attacked by the snake. What will you do for them all?
But I mean, if you are there, you see somebody dying, and I understand the part of attachment that you should not be attached to the baby, but if you see a baby die, and if you are there, you can protect him from dying, then you are saying he should let him die?
Yes. That's not his business. He's not the protector of the animals. That's Krishna's business. His vow was that I have to be fixed in meditation and go back to Godhead. And then he became deviated from that vow. No, let me make this material world a better place. At least for one little deer. And it didn't make the material world a better place. The deer is going to die anyway, with or without him. But he gave up his purpose. Suppose you're on a mission for the United States of America to save America, you know, do something. But there's some baby cab and it's having a problem. The mouse is, the dog is after it. Are you going to give up your mission to save little baby cat? Something like that. Compared to his great purpose, the business of saving the baby deer was not his duty.
Well, that was supposed to be like a cruelty.
Excuse me?
Cruelty.
Cruelty.
Yeah.
Yes. Callous. Yes, you can be soft-hearted, and you can save all the little baby deers and the baby cats and the baby dogs. There are people who dedicate their lives to that. There's so many dogs today that are going to the, they're being put to sleep because no one is taking care of them. So if you like, you can dedicate your life to saving the lives of all so many cats and dogs in New Orleans and Louisiana and Mississippi. You can do that. And then you're very soft-hearted, you're a very sympathetic person, very merciful and compassionate, but you waste your life. Because the human life is not meant for protecting the cats and dogs from calamity. It's meant for Brahma Jigyasa, for spiritual realization.
They have a soul, you know.
They have a soul.
Yeah.
Therefore, they'll live forever. Whether you save them from being put to sleep or you do nothing, they'll live forever anyway. As soul, they'll live forever, so what are you doing? Or from another point of view, as conditioned souls, they'll continue to take birth again and again, so what are you doing? Your intervention is of no use, because if they're eternal, they're not going to die anyway. And looking at it from the other point of view, you can't save them from birth and death. So what are you doing by your intervention? Nothing. You're just feeling, yes, I'm a compassionate person. I'm doing something. I'm helping the cats and dogs. And there's so many nice ladies. I've seen. You go to the, what is that, Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and their hearts are bleeding for the cats and dogs. The cows, they're eating. But for the cats and dogs, they're feeling so much compassion. What is the use? That's my point. Is your life successful because you've now saved so many cats and dogs?
Happiness.
Hmm?
Happiness.
I can't hear you.
Happiness.
Happiness.
What about happiness?
Yeah, if you help somebody, you're happy.
Yeah, you'll feel happy. I saved the cat.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you sacrificed your own life. You had a purpose. You had an opportunity to go back to Godhead. And instead, you save the cat from the dog or whatever.
But these people cannot be Krishna conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You are saying that if a guy had chosen as a profession to save animals, he cannot be also...
As your profession, that may be whatever. Everyone has some profession. But if you make it your business in life to save the cats and dogs, you're missing the point of life. That's another thing. Your job, your occupation, if your job is to work for the ASPCA, fine. But our job is not to work for the ASPCA. And if you give your human energy, why? Such a great opportunity, after millions of lifetimes, you have the opportunity to go back to Godhead by taking seriously to Krishna consciousness. And you think, oh, the poor little doggies. Let me dedicate my life to bettering their position. Why? If actually you want to better someone's position, at least the human beings can understand Krishna consciousness. Dedicate your life to saving them from birth and death. The dogs, cats, what will they understand? But the human beings can understand Krishna consciousness. And they're missing the opportunity. Therefore, it's your duty to save them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Parata Bhumite Manusha Janma Hoyloja. Anyone who's taken birth, Manusha Janma, as a human being, Part Bhumine. His duty is, Janma Svartha Kori, to make his life successful. Successful means Krishna consciousness. And Kara Para Upakara. Real welfare work. not this little tiny cat and dog shelter work. Real welfare work. How to save the living being from the clutches of birth and death. That's your duty, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. If we neglect our duty, it's not good. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, Janma Sartha Kari Kara Paropakar. Real welfare work.
But then you can also save animals and be with God also. There's a saying that Jibe Daya Kare Jai John, Jai John Shebiche Ishar. So, how do you explain that then? If you,
I don't understand Bangla so well. Could you translate?
I mean, if you take care of animals, it's like doing service to God also.
Who said that? That's not.
It's the same that I grew up with.
So these common sayings, you know. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't say, if you're serving the animals, you're serving me. We're serving. Why the animals? Even if we serve the devatas. Yebhyanya devata bhakta yajanti shrutayanvita. Even if a person with great sincerity serves anya devata, tepiyam, tepimame vikantya, he's actually serving me. But yajanti avidipurvakam, he's doing it in the wrong way. So yes, if I'm serving the cat, I'm serving Krishna. We were reading that the mother is Krishna, the father is Krishna.
Animals
are also Krishna. So if I'm serving the dog, I'm also serving Krishna.
Yes.
But does it mean, why should I serve the deity? I'll serve the dog. The dog is also Krishna, and the dog is also not Krishna. If I think, no, let me serve the dog is also Krishna. But he's not Krishna at the same time. So the daya, it's all right to give daya to all the living beings, but especially the human beings have first claim. We should be merciful to the human beings because they can understand Krishna consciousness. So we should particularly give them the opportunity. Even the animal will give them prasadam, that's all right. But the first thing is that our energy should be directed. All right, some animal, give him prasadam. He's not excluded. Be merciful even to the ant. That's all right. But the focus of the daya should be the human beings. They should be saved from birth and death because they're the candidates. Just like the teacher, he has to be kind to all of his students and instruct them. It doesn't mean he should be cruel if some animal is there on the campus. But not that he forgets about instructing the students and he's busy petting the animal, taking care of the animal, feeding the animal. That's not his business as professor. As professor, his business is to help the students to graduate and be successful in their life. So the business, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, every Indian, his business is to make his life successful and spread this Krishna consciousness. That's his business. That's his, you know, like professor's business. He's not only taking birth as human being, but as human being in India, he should take this up. And Prabhupada said, he gave his own example. He said, I'm only one Indian, and by my small efforts, some good has happened. So if all the Indians take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, what will be the result?
Yeah, you have to leave it alone. And so she's still here. She's in the field with the cows. I don't know.
I've seen that deer, yes.
But they told us, just leave it alone. You know, we should have just left it in the field and let nature take its course.
Yeah, the forest management is like that also. They thought we'll save the forest from the fires. And only later did they find that actually the fire is needed for the health of the forest. So we make ourselves, you know, the gods of the whole world, and we're going to take care of the animals, and we're going to take care of the forest, and we're going to take care of nature. And God is the God of the whole world. And He's given us a particular duty, paradharma bhayavaha, to take someone else's duty is dangerous. We should take our duty. And not say, well, what about this, what about that? My duty I have to do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I've kept you a long time. Is there any other question that you wanted to address?
Yes,
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Regarding Uttara Maharaj, you were saying that Lord Vishnu created Lord Rama, and from there the material world was created.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're asked this question, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
And what's a good answer?
Good answer is, I don't know. Or the best answer is the chicken and the egg both come from Krishna, thus. All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.